Okay, so when we met last week, Perek Lamed Beis here, the story of the Chet Ha'Egel, at least the beginning of the story of the Chet Ha'Egel, so we pointed out that there is a bunch of problems. We discussed Rashi Shita, we discussed the Ramban's idea. Rashi is the one pretty much throws the book at Bnei Yisrael, says the entire thing is based around the Avodah Zarah. That seems to be their plan from the beginning. That leaves open a bunch of questions. Number one, what is Aaron's involvement? How does that play out? And number two is you're going to have this problem both times, but Hashem seems to forgive Bnei Yisrael right off the bat. It's only later where Hashem does not, right? If one goes through the Perek Lamed Beis, the story goes, the people had some kind of complaint, they go to Aaron, they make some kind of egel, Hashem taps Moshe on the shoulder, says you got a problem down there, you got to go down. Moshe asks for tshuva on behalf of Bnei Yisrael right away. Hashem grants it to him. Moshe then goes down, and this whole thing ensues with he smashing the tablets and Mi Hashem Eli and going and killing a bunch of people, etc. So what took Moshe a turn? Why did Moshe ask for tshuva first? Shouldn't he? And why do you need the two levels of? On one hand, he asks for tshuva, and then he goes and kills Bnei Yisrael. And by the way, at the end, Moshe asks for tshuva again, and at the end of this parak, Hashem seems not to grant it. And I don't know if you caught that. As Hashem says to towards the end of the parak, it says, Moshe turns back to Hashem, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, 31, we've sinned. Right, and if you're going to forgive us, great. If not, then I want it to be erased. Hashem says to Moshe, those that sin against me, I'll erase from my books. But you're going to gather this nation, and the Malach is going to walk in front of you. You're going to walk in front of them. Okay, but it never actually says that Hashem forgave Bnei Yisrael, at least not at this point. So Hashem forgave them in the beginning, and then doesn't seem to be forgiving them now. So those are all issues with Rashi's pshat. We had the Ramban's pshat, which we spent a lot of time on earlier this week. The Ramban's pshat is, Bnei Yisrael doesn't make any sense. How could you, really, Bnei Yisrael is saying that this was the God that brought them out of Egypt, as the line seems to imply? Really? Bnei Yisrael thought that right after getting the Torah, right after getting the Man, right after leaving Mitzrayim? That's the claim that they're making? How could that possibly be? That can't possibly be. So the Ramban's explanation is that no, they weren't actually creating a new God. They weren't claiming that this was a deity. Ki biyadua, says the Ramban, Shaloyu Yisrael Sabur Shemosha Hu Elukim. Moshe wasn't God, that can't be. Rather, they were just requesting another Moshe, another leader. Moshe Shahorulanu Aderech Mitzrayim Badhim. Just as Moshe had brought them the way until this point, and that's really all that they were requesting. Now, you have a bit of a problem with that. A couple of major issues with that. Number one is, well, what does the eagle have to do with it? How does an eagle replace Moshe? What was the Havamina there? Another issue that you have then is that if you go to mitigate the sin of Bnei Yisrael, so that helps in terms of understanding Aaron's involvement, but what does it not help with? Understanding why this was the greatest sin that the Jews had ever done. If you're going to knock down the sin too much, so then you're left wondering, okay, well then what was so bad that they did, right? That is a question that that you would have to raise on the other side. So I came across, I didn't really have a great answer. The Ramban doesn't seem to address those issues. I did come across a essay from Rabbi Liebtag. Rabbi Liebtag, at least does a job, gives an approach into understanding this and how to work this out. So as we've pointed out before, yeah.
How could the conclusion be reached that this was not some kind of deity because they brought Karbanos?
Ah, good question. So, hold on. Okay, so the first thing he points out, the first question that he addresses is, what was Bnei Yisrael thinking? How could they possibly, what would they figure out? So the way Rashi reads it, and there's a famous Rashi, you learn this Rashi when you're in first and second grade, why was Bnei Yisrael having a problem? What do we know? Because they... No. Why did Bnei Yisrael think Moshe wasn't coming back?
Oh, because they calculated.
Right, they were off by a day. Nowhere, he points out, nowhere does it say that Moshe told them that I'm going for 40 days. Moshe never said that.
But doesn't Rashi also say that the Sultan showed them...
There were more tricks that the Sultan played, sure. But that does play into this. Moshe never told Bnei Yisrael that he was leaving for that long. The only thing he said is, I'm going to go up for a little while, and then I'm going to come back. Now, what's a little while? So Moshe had gotten up to Har Sinai before. He'd gotten up several times to Har Sinai before. How long did he go up to Har Sinai before? A day? 2 days? No! This is before Matan Torah. In the days leading up to Matan Torah, remember, we learned this. He goes up a few times. Hashem tells him to make sure the boundaries are in place and make sure everybody's there at the right times. Yeah, he goes up for a day or two. So Moshe goes and says, okay, I'm going to go up for a while. So if he goes up, if the last times he went up for a day or two, and now he's going up for a while, how long is he going up for?
Moses said to them, at the end of 40 days I shall return.
Yeah, it's based on the Gemara and Shabbos. He's getting it. I mean, he didn't make it up out of thin air.
No.
The Gemara is quoted from a Gemara, but in terms of understanding Pshat in the story, you got to come to the between Mincha Maariv Shirim on Shabbos, where we were discussing Rashi's understanding of Pshat. When does Rashi use Pshat? When does he use Drash? But Rashi, that is a Drash. It's not explicit in the text. One could read the text as just saying, Moshe goes up for a while. And now Bnei Yisrael is stuck. And now 3 days go by, 5 days go by, a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by. And now Bnei Yisrael is getting nervous. So who are they looking to recruit? What are they trying to get? What are they trying to do? So they turn to Aaron and say, okay, Aaron, we're going to need somebody, right? We're going to need somebody who is going to lead us. And truth is, that's what they really ask for. The word they ask, we need somebody, Elohim. Now, what is an Elohim? Or we said before, Elohim. Elohim is not necessarily a god, even though we normally use it that way. Elohim is used in the Torah itself as being a judge or a leader. So they're saying, we need a leader, somebody who is going to go in front of us. Okay? So Aaron agrees to. Now, Aaron ensures, or attempts to ensure, that this is not going to be a deity. How do we see that he tried to ensure that? So Barry brought up this pasuk before. It's really a proof the other way. He says he built a mizbeach in front of it, and they got up the next morning. They brought shlamim. Who did they bring olos and shlamim to? So Aaron's attempt was, we're going to bring olos and shlamim to Hashem to demonstrate that this is not a deity. Now that sounds kind of crazy, except they already did it. It's the end of Mishpatim, so people don't concentrate on this very much. But that was part of what Moshe had in mind as well. That if we go to Psukim earlier, towards the end of Perek Chaf Gimel, in Perek Chaf Gimel, that's what they did. They made these pillars. Chapter 23. I'm trying to find it here. Actually, go to 24. 24 verses 4, 5, that area. Right, Val Moshe Amar Alel Hashem Atav Yeron Adav Ve'Aviv Shem Yisrael Yisrael VeNigash Moshe Levado Hashem VeHim Lo Yikru Alam Lozel VeHavo Moshe VeYisrael Lehem Es Kol Divrei Hashem VeYis Kol Mishpatim VeAm Kolam Kol Achad VeYimru Kol and they said Nase VeNishma Kol Asher Dibrei Hashem Nase VeYichtov Mordechai Es Kol Divrei Hashem VeYishkim Abuk Aviv Mizbeach Tachas Ahar Ushtei Masri Matseva Lushtei Masar Shifte Yisrael. They put these 12 pillars up to represent the 12 Shvatim VeYishachal Nare Bnei Yisrael VeYilu Alos. And they offered these karbanos. So just as they had a monument before, they put some kind of physical object to represent their nation. Now they're putting an object to represent their leader, and they're offering karbanos in front of it towards Hashem. Okay, so far it's not. So he tries to mitigate that. That's kind of perhaps what the Ramban was thinking. Now the problem that we have, and this is a question we raised the other day, is if you want to do that. Great, we need another leader in place of Moshe. So I could think of a few candidates. One of them being Aaron, right? One of them being any other human being, some other person. What in the world are they doing choosing an eagle? So
they didn't say eagle.
Well, they say they
that's
need.
What came out, but that wasn't. They just said other king.
Okay, so what was Aaron thinking in terms of that? Why did Aaron go with a eagle? You know, why did Aaron say, "Oh, you need a leader? Great, gather all the gold." Well, how does that fit in? So here he goes. This is a pretty big chiddush that he goes on a little bit. He points to that there is a chizkuni in the back. Now I didn't find the chizkuni say exactly what he says. A chizkuni is often on the regular page of the Mikras Gedolos, and in the newer editions of the Mikras Gedolos, where the words have all gotten a lot bigger, so the chizkuni unfortunately got shipped out to the back. So therefore, since it's not on the page, we don't cover him as much. But the chizkuni says points to a couple of psukim also towards the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where it says that. That Moshe was able to go up and he spoke to Hashem face to face. And what about the other people? The other people were tachas raglav. The other people were under the feet of Hashem. And under his feet, they were like sapphire. So the Chizkuni says that if you go take a look at in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, where there are descriptions of Hashem being given, so it makes a comment there that the bottom of the feet, actually describing the Shekhinah, the bottom of the feet was straight, and the bottom of the feet were like the feet of an eagle. So perhaps he suggests that that's what the eagle is doing. The eagle is the only vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Bnei Yisrael had, that the Hamun Ham had, were the bottom of the feet of Hashem, so to speak, which is similar to the bottom of the feet of the eagle. What?
This is in the prophecy.
It's a prophecy.
The prophets,
yeah.
That it says that Hashem's that Moshe went up and the other.
No, that's in Mishpatim. In Mishpatim, Moshe went up and others, Chur and Aaron and Nadav, Avihu, others,
right.
Somebody else, they were able to see Hashem. What did they able to see Hashem? They saw the bottom of his feet. Right. The bottom of his, but they saw the bottom of his feet. So the bottom of his feet. So he says the Chizkuni, although I couldn't find the Chizkuni, but Rabbi Liebtag says that there's a Chizkuni that points out that the description of the bottom of Hashem's feet is given in Yecheskel, and there it's compared to the bottom of the feet of an eagle.
That's not the bottom of the feet of the throne.
No.
I thought that was the bottom of the feet of the throne, Hashem's throne.
The prophet Ezekiel. Here we go. Vraglayim regali Yisrael. Everyone had. Ezekiel. And the hand of Hashem was there upon me. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came in the north, and great cloud, and a fire unfolding itself in the midst thereof, the color of the amber, in the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst therefore came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And then Pasuk Zion, V'raglayim regel yesharav, chaf raglayim b'chaf regel egel. And the feet were straight, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. V'notzim be'in nechoshes kalal. And they sparkled like the color of the burnishing brass. So their image, the image of some kind of heavenly being, whatever this is, right? It's not necessarily Hashem. It's something.
Four. There were four.
A malach, yeah. Some kind of malach. But you see, his point is simply that you see the term egel. Egel could be a representative of a, well, also not necessarily of Hashem himself, but of a malach of Hashem. And a malach might really be what they're looking for here, right? They're looking for somebody who's going to lead them along the way. And that could possibly be the malach. That's what they're asking for. Maybe this was the representation of a malach.
That's very good. Well, why would it be the feet?
Thank you. It's not me.
Why would the bottom of the feet be...
Because that's all they saw.
An eagle. No, but why would it even be an eagle? Is there some kabbalistic reason why it would be an eagle as opposed to a lion?
Oh, that you got to learn Yecheskel for that. That's I'm not old enough for that. Okay, so... Okay, so with this we've but this is still going along the line of mitigating Bnei Yisrael's sins. I mean, this is going kind of expanding upon the Ramban that we learned the other day. The Ramban, they're really only looking for intermediary. Maybe they were right, maybe they were wrong, maybe it wasn't a good idea. But you got to understand where they're going wrong, and you also understand what was so terrible. Now, Hashem tells them, now we go through the text a little bit. They did it, and they woke up the next morning, and it says, Vayisham lechol v'shasu v'yakumu l'sachek, and they got, and the nation got up, and they ate, drank, and they were mitzachek. Now Hashem turns to Moshe and says, go and look up, see what they're doing. And go down quickly, and go take care of this. Now, and also, another, there's another famous line of Pasuk Tes that we've commented the first time. And Hashem says to Moshe, I see this nation, and I see they're an Am Kashay Orif. Right, what does Am Kashay Orif have to do with this? Am Kashay Orif is a stiff-necked people, or a stiff-back-of-neck people. And what does that have to do with this? What does stubbornness have to do with this? So Yeliptek suggests the following idea. This is a very interesting Chiddush. He says that there are really two different things going on here. Right? Everything hinges, everything really turns in Pasuk Vav with the word Litzachek. Remember, Rashi said, what's the term Litzachek? Litzachek is a reference either to Giloy Arayos or it's a reference to Shvichas Damim. What do those have to do with this? Where did those come into play?
So he's wrote a play?
Yeah. And he quotes scriptural sources for that. But where did that come from? What's going on? So he suggests that there's really two things going on. On one hand, Bnei Israel had this Egil and Aaron helped them, and Aaron made it for them because they had this idea they need to have this leadership, and we're going to have a Malach, it's going to be a representative of a Malach, and it's going to be some kind of tefillah that we're going to have a Malach, some kind of leader is going to take us into the land. And Moshe's not with us, and what's going to be? We're stuck here in the middle of the desert. We don't have too many choices. We could either stay here, we could go back, or we could go forward. We might as well go forward. Right? And we might as well have some kind of something that's going to lead us in, and we can like wrap our head around that. But perhaps the problem then turns is, so Bnei Yisrael sat, I mean, rather, so they offered korbanos to Hashem with this deity there. And what did Bnei Yisrael then do? So I would think Bnei Yisrael should then, all right, let's get going then. But no. Vayishiv ha'am lechol v'shasu v'yakumu l'tzachik. Bnei Yisrael ate, drank, and did prohibitions. They did things that were not allowed. They did things that were usher, namely shvichas damim and or gila arayos. Neither of them are good things. Okay, and that was the big chait. That was the big problem. And now things start. And now things start falling into place because there is a description also in the book of Yechezkel. Of Bnei Yisrael's state, and we've discussed this before, in the 20th parak of Yechezkel, of Bnei Yisrael's status when they were leaving the land of Israel. And while some may want to draw a history of a bunch of Jews marching into the desert with bekishas and strimals, and all being very and listening to Torah tapes on their MP3s, that's not really the image that one gets from the book of Yechezkel. That Hashem had gone. Hashem said to Moshe that, you know, these people have to ship up or ship out. They're going to have a problem. And if they just shape act up. A little bit better, shape up or ship out. If they just act a little better, then they're going to be taken out. And what happened? The pasuk says, "By Yamruvi, they rebelled against me, and they didn't listen to me, and they didn't throw away their avodah zarah, and they didn't throw away their idols, and they didn't do any of these things." But yet, pasuk Tes says, "Va'as l'man shemi." But yet I did it for my sake. I did it for my name. I took him out anyways, because otherwise I would be left without a people. So despite the fact that they didn't deserve it, I took them out of Egypt anyways. What's the plan? What's the plan if I'm taking them out of Egypt? Why would Hashem take them out of Egypt anyways, even though they were an immoral people at that point? What's the plan?
Because there's a covenant.
There's a covenant, and how is this going to change? How are they going to change from being an immoral people to being an Am Kodesh? Or I'm Amlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. How is it going to change?
But they were immoral in Egypt.
Yes.
Okay. But made them moral?
Between the 49 days of the Omer.
What? Forget about 49 days. What is the single event that's going to change them from being an immoral people?
Matan
Torah. They're going to have the Torah. Now they're going to have instructions on how to be immoral people. Right? So all should be wonderful. So they go up and they say, Nasa v'nishmet, everything is wonderful. And yes, they got this little thing wrong about the idol versus Hashem, you know, whether they should have this being or not, whatever, fine. We're willing to deal with that. And Moshe is willing to attempt to gain atonement for that, then Hashem gives them atonement for that. But what is the big problem? The big problem is they fall back to their old habits. They fall back to what life was like in Egypt, the immorality and the murder and the sexual sins, all of those things described in Rashi. And that's where Hashem says, that's why the terminology of Am Kashei Orof makes sense. They are a stubborn people. They're not changing. They're not changing the way I said they should change. So if they're not able to change, Moshe, so I got to get rid of them and I got to start a new nation. And that's where Moshe has to then step in. Yes?
But the mitigating point is that they actually didn't make the contract.
Hmm?
They didn't get the ketubah, so
they didn't get the ketubah. What do you mean?
In other words, whatever their misbehavior was, they weren't... They
had already been told a few pretty important ones, like lo tirzach, don't kill people, or lo tinaf, don't do immoral activities. This is after Matan Torah. Sure, they might not have all 613 mitzvahs, whatever it means. Moshe had to go up and come down. Fine, but those ones are already included. Lotirzach and Lotinaf are already there.
It's true, but they didn't. But that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu threw the luchos down. Because if he would have brought the luchos and they would have made a kinyan, then it's official.
Very good.
It's like a relationship.
But they're already told. Hashem had already told them, don't do these things. I mean, Hashem could forgive the egel. What he can't forgive is Litzachik. That's the point they're trying to make. That's the problem. The problem is not the eagle. I understand. Okay, Vinay's still the leader. They need a leader, whatever. It's the Litzachik problem. That's what happened. And they fell back, and that's where the great sin lied.
How does that word play? So it happens to play?
No, rebel.
Be merry.
Literally, yeah, to be merry. I think that's the way it's translated over there.
But it comes from the root.
Right? And now that explains a few other things also. Hashem forgives them right away, and then Moshe goes down and smashes the tablets. Why does Moshe smash the tablets? So for that reason, it's the partying issue. He's got to break up the party. Not necessarily break up the egel, but break up the party. And that's why Hashem at the end says, listen, I'm not going to leave. Hashem seems to remove himself from Bnei Yisrael towards the end. Why does Hashem remove himself? That's the end of the chapter. We'll have to get into this as we get into the next parak, because that seems to be what Moshe is requesting in the next parak. But why does Hashem remove himself? Hashem says, listen, I'm not, you haven't changed enough yet, so I want you to be okay, and Laman Shemi, for the sake of my name, I want things to work out, but not if I'm here right there with you the whole time, so there's going to be continuous problems, right? Take him to Eretz Yisrael, maybe then that's how things are going to be able to change. But how that resolves itself, we're going to have to wait for the next parak. But I think that this is I think it's very helpful. I think it solves some of the challenges that we've had. You still have to work out Rashi's. How does Rashi fit into the pshat exactly? But okay, I think we've made some progress into how to understand this idea.
Rambam to be key.
I think the Ramban is the opening. Now, I think the Ramban doesn't fill in some of these details that we had this Kaskuni that helped out, and then kind of putting it together. Rabbi Liebtag, I think, did a beautiful job putting it together. Yes?
Is there any commentary on why they just didn't go to Aaron and Cohen and say, well, look, you're next in charge, so you take over?
Yeah.
And done, and they don't have to build an eagle, and they don't have to, you know. They just go to him and say, okay, you know, You're next in line for succession. And
yeah.
Does anybody talk about why it's even the normal way to do it?
Is Aaron next in line for succession? I think
he's one of the leaders.
I think there is a general issue that people can't necessarily identify leaders. They can't see some. They only see people as they are. Rabbi Rakefet talks about this. You talk to Chabad people, they tell you you're totally crazy. But Rabbi Rakefet gave a whole discussion about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Lubavitch, for a year. He gave lectures on this. They're all available on YU Torah. And he mentions a few times, he said, when the Rebbe passed away, they didn't get another Rebbe. Why not? So his answer was who could imagine who would be the next Rebbe? The problem is that that's true. But the Rebbe wasn't the Rebbe when he first became Rebbe. Right? You appoint a new person, and the charisma builds behind the position. But it's all, so whether yes or, and the Babbagers say you're crazy, I talked to my brother about this, says there was no Havamina. Nobody had a thought that there could be another Rebbe. It wasn't even discussed. Okay, I don't know, historically, you could, maybe there was discussion, maybe there wasn't, I don't know. But I think that is a standard problem. I mean, this person has all the charisma. Moshe had just crossed the Yamsuf. Aaron's going to be able to do the same thing. Moshe had just split the sea. Moshe had just gone up to the heavens and came down. Aaron's going to be able to do that also. Aaron's one of us. Aaron's on our team. Well, he's not in the leadership role. And they just don't...
Who was standing next to Moshe when all this was happening?
Was Aaron standing next to Moshe, or was Aaron standing opposite Moshe? Right? Was Aaron you know, with Moshe as the vice president? Or was Aaron in the front of Bnei Yisrael? I think that's my image. Maybe we could find the more things about this with Aaron. My image of Aaron was Aaron's like the advocate of the people. He wasn't like the leader. He was the lead advocate of...
He didn't have a special relationship with Hashem. He was in Egypt before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, and he was the leader before Moshe. Rashi says that.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron displayed this great... Midos,
right, but with the, I think with
his brother was taking over his leadership. He was already
Okay, that's a whole new theory. Maybe yes, maybe no. I think that I hear the question. I think that might be the end. Moshe had done so much. How could we possibly replace him with Aaron, who had been there the whole time and hadn't done so much?
Right.
Moshe had a special.